Welcome to the Catholics on Campus podcast, where certified Catholic mindset coach and college student development expert, Dr. Virginia Cook, provides practical tips and coaching to succeed in college while growing in your Catholic faith. And now, your host, Virginia Cook.
Welcome back to the podcast, my friends. Today, I'd like to focus on an important topic that you might not think about very often, redemptive suffering. Even though I converted to Catholicism decades ago, I wrestle with this teaching even today. If you are like me, I encourage you to give this episode a listen. Honestly, I hesitated to do this topic for a number of reasons, but as I started diving deeper, I noticed that other Catholic teachers were also talking about it, so I took it as confirmation that I needed to discuss it with you, my dear listeners. How often have we heard in times of physical or emotional trial, why does God allow this? In our Catholic tradition, suffering holds a deeper, transformative meaning. In Genesis, we see that suffering wasn't part of God's original plan. Suffering entered into the world through original sin when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Their choices brought consequences, pain, toil, and death into the world. But God, in his infinite mercy, didn't abandon humanity. He sent Jesus to redeem us. Through his passion and death, Jesus transformed suffering into a means of salvation. The Catechism 1505 says, "By his passion and death on the cross, Christ has given new meaning to suffering. It can henceforth configure us to him and unite us with his redemptive passion." Redemptive suffering is a mystery rooted in love, a love so profound that it redeems even the darkest moments of the human experience. St. Paul writes in Colossians 1:24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, the church." St. Paul is encouraging us to participate in Christ's suffering and also to join in the work of redemption by offering our own sufferings in union with those of Jesus. St. Pope John Paul II explains this beautifully in his 1982 apostolic letter, Salvici Doloris, excuse my Latin, which says, "In the cross of Christ, not only is redemption accomplished through suffering, but also human suffering itself has been redeemed. Christ has raised human suffering to the level of redemption." St. Pope John Paul II explains, "Suffering is a part of being human and can be very different for each person." He notes that there are two main types of suffering: physical suffering and moral suffering. Moral suffering is when we feel pain in our heart or mind, like sadness or guilt. He emphasizes that suffering can help people grow in faith and understanding, and he encourages us to meditate on our suffering and unite it to God so as to find hope in the trials of life. I have linked to his letter in the show notes if you want to read it for yourself. Over the centuries, many saints have embraced opportunities to unite their sufferings with Christ. As the Catechism 2683 reminds us, the saints bear witness to the transformative power of hope. Here's three examples of saints who provide us with valuable insights into the power of redemptive suffering. First, in the 1500s, Spaniard St. John of the Cross, a Carmelite mystic, wrote of his dark night of the soul, a period of spiritual dryness and suffering that led to a deeper union with God. In his words, "In suffering, the soul becomes more pure, wise, and luminous." Another example is a Carmelite who lived in Normandy in the 1800s, St. Thérèse of Lisieux. While only a sister for 9 years, she suffered with incurable tuberculosis and died at the age of 24. She was known for her simplicity and practical approach to the spiritual life. She's also known as the Little Flower, and like St. John of the Cross, she felt that Jesus abandoned her. She was also tormented by doubts of God's existence. Despite living a cloistered life, after her death, she became known around the world for her spiritual memoir, The Story of a Soul, in which she wrote this: Do not imagine that love can be found without suffering, for we carry our human nature, and yet what a source of merit it is. Saint Therese was declared a doctor of the church in 1997 by Pope John Paul II. And more recently, my last example is Saint Padre Pio. He was an Italian Capuchin priest who died in 1968 at the age of 81. He experienced the stigmata, the painful bleeding wounds of Christ in his hands, feet, and side for over 50 years. Through his suffering, Saint Padre Pio received many spiritual gifts, including the gift of healing, bilocation, levitation, prophecy, miracles, extraordinary abstinence of both sleep and nourishment, and the ability to read hearts. He also had the gift of tongues, the gift of conversions, and pleasant-smelling wounds. Padre Pio saw suffering as a way to participate in Christ's passion. He said, "Jesus is never closer to you than when you are sharing in his cross." If you are not familiar with St. Padre Pio, I have linked to the Padre Pio Foundation of America website in the show notes so you can learn more. So what can Catholics on campus do to live out the call for redemptive suffering in our lives? I have five suggestions for you. First, offer it up. That is, give it all to Jesus, who gave his all for us as a sacrificial offering. When you face difficulties, whether it's a tough exam, a broken relationship, or a physical illness, pause and say, "Lord, I offer this suffering to you for the salvation of souls." If you find yourself not wanting to persevere through suffering, do it anyway. As St. John of the Cross reminds us, a Christian should always remember that the value of his good works is not based on the number and excellence, but on the love of God which prompts him to do these things. In the mid-1500s, the Spanish Carmelite nun, St. Teresa of Avila, wrote a beautiful prayer called Nada Te Turbe, which reminds us to surrender to God completely. Her prayer, translated from the original Spanish, goes like this. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Amen. Now, my second suggestion for you is to receive the sacraments. Frequent reconciliation, at least monthly, and receiving the Eucharist gives you spiritual strength and sanctification to endure suffering with hope. The Catechism 1324 reminds us that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. Now, my third suggestion is to lean on Our Lady. Mary, the Mother of Sorrows, knows the pain of suffering. Pray the Rosary and ask for her to intercede for you. We call Mary the Mother of Sorrows because Simeon told her that a sword will pierce through your own heart in Luke 2:35. This prophecy is considered the first of seven swords that pierce the heart of Mary. The other swords are the flight into Egypt, loss of the child Jesus for 3 days, Mary meets Jesus on his way to Calvary, the crucifixion and death of Jesus, the body of Jesus taken from the cross, and the burial of Jesus. Fourth suggestion is to pray with Scripture. Meditate on passages like Psalm 23, which is "The Lord is my shepherd," or Romans 8 to find comfort and strength in God's word. In Romans 8:16 through 18, Paul writes, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." St. Paul then goes on to write, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared to the glory to be revealed to us." A fifth suggestion is to find a strong Catholic community. You can share your struggles with trusted friends and mentors, a spiritual director, or a Catholic coach. It's so important to surround yourself with like-minded people. Our secular world is filled with distractions and lies from the enemy to pull you away from focus with God. Many people do not understand redemptive suffering and see it as a reason to reject God or seek a watered-down version of Christianity that only emphasizes God as a loving father. Yes, God is a loving father, but he has high expectations for us and wants us to love him with all of our hearts, even when we suffer. Our secular world also rejects the goodness of God shown through the gifts he's given to people like St. Padre Pio. Modern society tempts us with astrology, psychics, fortune tellers, and the like to cast doubt on God's miracles in our lives. As a Catholic coach, I can help you to develop a mindset to help you grow spiritually and virtuously. Through suffering and sacrifice, you can grow in a number of virtuous ways. Here are five things that you can work on. Gratitude, being thankful even when things are hard. Magnanimity, seeking excellence in all things, especially great things. Perseverance, keeping at something until you finish, even if it's hard. Studiosity, wanting to learn and know more according to your state in life. And the last one is good counsel, the habit of listening to good advice. There are also some bad habits or vices that you can avoid. Here's six of them. Desperation, not believing in God's ability to save you. Precipitation, which is acting too quickly without seeking counsel. Ingratitude, not being thankful for the things that you get. Fear, not moderating your fear of future evil. Pusillanimity, which is a smallness of soul, not striving for excellence. And the last one is anger, getting too mad and wanting to get back at others. The Catechism 1505 explains, suffering is a great mystery that Scripture and tradition tell us can be better understood in the light of the life of the Word made flesh. The Catechism also says, by his passion and death on the cross, Christ has given new meaning to suffering. It can henceforth configure us to him and unite us with his redemptive passion. Our suffering can bring us closer to Jesus and allow us to participate in his work of salvation. So let's return to that nagging question. Why does God allow suffering? Bishop Robert Barron has an excellent sermon where he gives helpful analogies to help begin to understand this great mystery. He says suffering is a hard truth that we all struggle to understand because we know it begins with God's love for us. Bishop Barron encourages us to read Isaiah chapters 40 to 45. In it, I found the verse in 41:10, which says, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be anxious, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Father Mike Schmitz, in his video called The Meaning of Suffering, suggests that God redeemed the world by entering into our emptiness, abandonment, powerlessness, betrayal, and loneliness to transform us by cooperating with him. It doesn't mean suffering won't hurt physically or emotionally, but God will be with us to strengthen us and help us find meaning in the suffering. Perhaps an example from my own life might help to better illustrate how hope and meaning can come from suffering. My father died suddenly when I was 29. At that time, I was not Catholic yet, nor was I practicing any faith. I had just moved to the Chicago area about 5 months before his death, and I was the furthest away from home I had ever been. After the funeral, I returned to my job with a huge gray cloud of grief hanging over my head. I was so sad. While my coworkers were kind and understanding, there was work to be done, and honestly, I struggled to find my way through grief. Two things helped me through this difficult period. First, after about 6 months of struggling, I started attending a grief counseling program for adult children who had lost parents. And second, I started attending Sunday Mass at a nearby Catholic church. I quietly attended Mass for several years before I felt the call to register for RCIA. No one else in my family was Catholic, except for my dad who had passed away, and many of my friends had left the church. The suffering I experienced, the loneliness and the grief, pushed me to seek support and to seek God and to change my life. Without that experience, I don't know where I would be today. I probably wouldn't have met my Catholic husband, earned a PhD at a Catholic university, or become a Catholic mindset coach. but I can truly say, because I'm certain of God's love for me, I no longer feel alone or sad, because I know Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with me every day, even as I miss my dad. With that, I am going to wrap up this episode and pray that you will access the resources in the show notes to help you embrace redemptive suffering. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a 5-star rating and share it with your friends. If you have any suggestions for future podcasts, feel free to reach out to me through my website, knots-untied.com. I've also linked to my website in the show notes to make it easier for you to reach me. Until next time, Mary, untier of knots, pray for us. God bless you.
If you are an ambitious college student who desires to leverage your God-given talents to live in beatitude and make a bold difference in the world, Dr. Virginia Cook can help you excel in your educational journey and grow in your Catholic identity. As founder of Knots Untied Coaching, Virginia offers mindset coaching from an authentically Catholic perspective and collegiate success and well-being strategies for happy, healthy, and holy living. Want to stay connected? Visit knotsuntied.com to learn how to join an amazing community of like-minded Catholic college students and their parents. You can also follow her on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Check out the show notes for links and special offers.